This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. I'm DJ. This is week 14 of 2020. Yep, this is the podcast where we sit in our theaters and talk about the fun stuff we do in the theaters. Last week, John and I talked about the Star Wars saga. And this week, I've had a pretty busy week in my theater starting from last Friday night. But before I get into all of that, I have some tweets from the week. First tweet from Adriano the Nerd, who I will bring up again later, but he tweeted at me after last week's episode, said, "Great episode again. Thanks for the shout out. The box hasn't arrived here in Australia yet, but it's seriously tempting. I'm supposed to be watching The Expenditure and you're being a bad influence here, mate. Ha ha." Well, I apologize. I apologize to all of Australia if I'm being a bad influence. Who am I kidding? That's awesome. And that's Adriano the Nerd at AdrianoTweets87 on Twitter, who is really living up to his name because Adriano also went over and followed me on Brightside Chat, where we talk comic books. We are part of the Nerdy Legion. So Adriano, welcome to the Nerdy Legion. Thank you for all the support, loving the conversations. And like I said, be talking about him in a second again. But before that, I have another tweet from Brian Fuller at Brian_Fuller7, just tweeting in to let us know what he's doing in his theater. So he tweeted at Brightside HT, "Just watched Onward with my three little boys in my theater because my wife bought me a kettle popcorn maker. Great movie for families. Looked fantastic on 4K Blu-ray on my JVC NX7. Kids loved it and the movie theater popcorn. Highly recommend both." Well, I'll take your word on Onward. I haven't seen that one yet. My kids are older. That's kind of not in my wheelhouse. But when I get back to work, money starts flowing. It's on my list. But as for the popcorn maker, I can recommend that. I see, is that the popcorn maker in the back of the picture that you sent? Because I think my wife got me the same one a few years ago. And it does work awesome. And one last note. I'm jealous of your JVC NX7. Those are really nice. So while we're still talking about tweets, I got a tweet from Adriano last week about Underworld. He said he just tweeted out that he was watching Underworld. And John and I talked about it in the podcast last week. And I think it was Friday night. I've been doing a lot of Star Wars. Obviously, I'm doing another Star Wars movie today, but I was a little Star Wars out on Friday night. So I had the theater to myself and I was like, oh, what do I? And there was Underworld. I'm like, I should throw that in. Got the inspiration from Adriano, put in Underworld. I have it in 4K. It is really nice. It's an older movie. So I think the 4K kind of shows the special effects a little bit. So it's one of those leave your brain at the door type movies. As I said last week, it's one of my guilty pleasures, but I really enjoyed the HDR on this. It's this whole Underworld franchise is based on practically a black and white type movie. You know, obviously a monochromatic, I should say, more like with the blues, but the sound in these things, really, really good. And then Underworld, the first movie with the Atmos, it was so strong. And that I'd forgotten about some of the scenes. Obviously, I didn't take notes, just having fun. And like I said on Twitter, because of watching that one, while I was watching it, I went online and ordered the fourth movie, Underworld Awakening, in 3D. So I'm waiting on that to come in. I don't know where it's coming from, but I was hoping it would have been in this week, but it hasn't made it. But I have watched Underworld Evolution, the second movie, and that picks up right from the first one. That one is in 1080p. The only movies in 4K, John and I said last week, we thought the only one was Underworld. Actually, the latest movie as well is in 4K, Underworld Blood Wars, and I actually have that. It was funny. After John and I talked, I went and looked at my stack, and I'm like, oh, I have the whole collection, and I have the last one in 4K as well. Those are the only two movies in 4K. But Underworld Evolution, even in 1080p, because of the way they shot it, I believe, it feels like it has really good HDR. The black levels are really good. They just shot it at such a high contrast that when you watch these movies, I felt like it still had decent, you know, high dynamic range, at least for the black levels. And that's only enhanced the color that is in the movie. Cause like I said, it's more of a monochromatic with the blues. But then there are scenes, especially in Evolution, where they really focus in on the face and you can see some of the color, the actual skin tones on the face and in the eyes where it's a little redder. Or if any scenes with the blood, they really pop out. And then in this one in particular, in Evolution, they really focus on the idea of the sunlight hurting Celine, Kate Beckinsale's character. So when the sunlight hits her, you can really feel that warmth because most of this movie is shot in that cooler temperature color, especially at the end when she's allowed to, spoiler alert, step into the sunlight. But the one difference which is noticeable is you can tell it's 1080p. Even though my system is up converting, it's still not 4K, so my projector is going to up convert it to put it out that way. It's just not as sharp. The images aren't as sharp, and when you go from a 4K movie and then go right to a 1080p, you can really tell the difference. It doesn't take away from the enjoyment of the movie at all. I'm looking forward to Rise of the Lycans. That's the third one, and then getting into the 3D one. I'm really looking forward to that one. Hopefully that's in this week. Maybe I'll be able to talk about it next week. But those movies are so good. It's such a break from, it's just such great mindless entertainment. And it's a good story. It's actually a really long 5-movie love story that goes through. And I really enjoy it. And like I said, it's a mindless break from everything else that's going on. And to just sit back and enjoy. And there's great sound, great picture, and just a lot of fun. So speaking of a lot of fun, you never know where things are going to take you. And as I tweeted out in the middle of the night on, I believe it was Saturday, I watch Psych every night, the show Psych. If you don't know what it is, Google it, check it out. Think of The Mentalist, only with a lot more humor, and they actually play into The Mentalist. They talk about it all the time. But anyways, there's an episode of Psych, which is, oh, by the way, starring James Roday, Dooley Hill, Corbin Burnson, Maggie Lawson. Great show. Anyways, so episode of Psych, I am at the time I was at, it's like season 6 or something like that, but Louis Gossett Jr. is in the episode and he plays this character, Lloyd. The name of the episode is, Here's Lassie. Anyways, that has nothing to do with the story other than Louis Gossett Jr. was in it. I see Louis Gossett Jr., my mind starts spinning, where do I go? Not Officer and a Gentleman, not Digstown, which is, I love that movie. I went to Iron Eagle, and the reason I went to Iron Eagle is because I've been looking for that movie, I wanted it on Blu-ray, I've been looking for that movie for years. I think the last copy I had, I bought online, and I was disappointed because it came in the pan and scan version on DVD. And I didn't want to show that to my son. I was like, no, we're going to wait. And I still have the DVD somewhere, but I didn't want to use that. I wanted to see it in the right way. So I went on IMDb in the middle of the night and looked, where can I get this? And it said on Amazon. I went on Amazon on my TV in the bedroom. I looked at it, clicked on it. It was like $7.99 to buy it, bought it. I was like, came in the 185 aspect ratio, filled the screen, comes with 5.1 sound. I was like, all right. Played it in the bedroom just to see what the picture looked like, and it looked pretty good. Next day, son and I watched the movie, and wow, did we have a laugh. The special effects, I think they only used 2 explosions through the entire movie. It was like, but they just kept replaying them over and over. They'd fire missiles, and they would just fall off the end of the plane. But we had a good time with it. It was fun going back and seeing what we found entertaining back in the 80s. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but this movie had a higher budget than Top Gun and clearly didn't make as much money as Top Gun did. it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's entertaining in a comedy type of way. The action isn't very good. I can't say the transfer or, you know, seeing it streaming, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought the sound was a little low. But I don't even know how good this, why would you remake this movie? You need to see it digitally the way I saw it. You don't need high quality because it's only going to look worse. Makes me look forward to Top Gun next month, but this movie was, if you got a 1080p transfer with an upgraded sound, maybe if they bumped it up. I remember in the 80s, what I was really infatuated with this movie was how the kid wore headphones. You could hear the music while he was flying, and it was, the sound felt kind of muted. I was expecting a more like engaging sound in the room when he started playing all the different songs, and you didn't get that. I had my system bumped plus 5, and that almost wasn't enough. I just left it. I was like, oh, I'm just enjoying it. And we had a laugh. I think my son was rolling his eyes a few times. And I mean, it's clearly an 80s movie. If you're a fan of the 80s or a kid of the 80s, that's the only person I would recommend this to. Otherwise, it's just, you're going to be like, what? Why? I can't believe this got made. And I can't believe people went to see it. But I don't regret buying it. I'm glad I have it. And I guarantee you I'll watch it again. And as a matter of fact, after I tweeted out that I had bought the digital copy, I got a reply from Graham Cole at Graham Box on Twitter. He said, man, I wanted to rent it from Netflix DVD and they don't have it. And I was like, well, I wouldn't kill yourself looking for it, but if you have any memory of this movie, that's who to buy it for. If you've never seen this movie, I can't say you should really work hard to track this one down. But like I said, I have fun with it. So moving on, another movie I watched this week, Deadpool 4K. Not much to say about that except for it's awesome in every aspect. I thought it had great sound. That's been oversaid. Everybody knows. I just wanted to let you know I watched it. That the reds in that are so, so good. I've heard people talk about it before. I have my 4K projector with it and seeing how good that movie really is. And in 1080p, I thought it was great. I've been watching 4K discs for the Atmos sound for years, and now that I have 4K, it's when you put these discs in, you forget, you know, oh wow, this is, it just really pops, and the detail, the crispness, and yeah, Deadpool, another great movie for mindless, fun entertainment to make you forget about what's going on around you. So this next one. All right, so you know I'm doing Star Wars. I'm going through the entire saga in order, and I own Solo's Star Wars Story in 4K. So I decided that, well, my son and I were like, well, we're going through the whole thing. Let's go in order, because I knew I was going to do Rogue One this week. So I threw in Solo. And this is the first time I've watched this movie in 4K. I've had the 4K disc. I think the last time I watched it was with my 1080p projector. I'm very disappointed. Very, very disappointed in this disc. I'll get into more of it next week when I talk about the entire box set. I am learning a lot about the technologies, about picture, about the different generations each of these movies have been made in. And I'm starting it when you watch these movies back to back to back to back and you see the different qualities. I'm really starting to see what like maybe the professionals that do this for a living that see this stuff every day, what they start to see. And I hate to say it, but this Solo cut, it takes away from the movie for me. I actually enjoy the movie. I know a lot of people, Star Wars fans, some Star Wars fans don't like it. They didn't think it. My son and I really enjoy the Solo movie. But as we were sitting there watching this movie, the picture on this movie is so muted. And I don't know how to describe it other than to say that it's like they didn't use the HDR. Like it's their lowest black level is like a third of the way from the bottom, and the highest bright level is a third of the way from the top. So everything looks flat. Everything looks, you don't get that depth that you should be getting with the high dynamic range of just the black and white, you know, never mind the color. I felt like a lot of the scenes were just so muted, and it really took away, and it was bothering me throughout the movie. And what's funny is after I watched this movie, I had actually put in Underworld Evolution after that. And I was like, oh, what? And you could really see the difference. Underworld Evolution's in 1080p with no HDR, and it has higher dynamic range than Solo. It's awful. Awful how bad this movie is. The sound's good. The sound's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's anything to write home about. Like, I don't remember any scenes where I was like, wow, I have to have you listen to that scene. So nothing great there, but not bad. But for me, this Solo picture is like the picture is like the Thor Ragnarok of sound. You know, Thor Ragnarok sound is so bad, but this picture is so muted. It ruined the movie for me. So that gets me to Rogue One. And that's our movie of the week. That's the, well, because it just came out on 4K, that is. Solo had been out on 4K because it was the more recent of the movies, and when it got released on Blu-ray, 4K was out. When Rogue One came out years ago, they weren't producing the 4Ks like they are now. So Rogue One got the complete makeover, just like the box set. Something with the Star Wars saga, they don't like to give you a good box that protects the discs. I talked about it last week with the Star Wars box set, and in Rogue One, they put three discs in one with no flip page, so you have two discs stacked on top of each other. I actually went to pull the 4K disc out and went to put it in the tray, and it was two discs. So they had two discs wedged together, and one of them is the 4K, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't want to damage the 4K. But let's get to the movie. I love this movie. I love what they did here. If you want to hear more about what we talked about, go on to the Nerdy Legion, look up Brightside Chat. John and I did a whole breakdown of this movie, I think back in November, where we just talk about the movie itself. But let's get into the home theater experience. This movie starts out, scared the heck out of me. I thought it was like Solo. The beginning of it, I was totally disappointed. The picture seemed flat. The black levels, there were some space scenes at the beginning where even in space, it didn't look like space was dark enough. It could have been blacker. There were some shots of characters that were poorly lit, that there was a lot of atmospheric effect, like atmospheric lighting, like the further you look, the cloudier things got. I understand that. But I didn't like it in the city streets when Cassian at the beginning is running down the streets. I felt like they could have gone deeper in some of those black levels. And it was scaring me. It was bringing me back to Solo. And I was like, oh no, don't tell me they did that on this movie too. And to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, I made note of a scene. It's at 40 minutes and 30 seconds. And it's when Jin first meets Saw Gerrera, played by Forrest Whitaker. So Jin, played by Felicity Jones, Jin is facing Saw and having a conversation with him. And in the background of this scene, in the background of Saw, is a big round window and lots of light coming in the window. Forrest Whitaker is very well backlit here, but there is great detail and great blacks and highlights to his costume, all of the detail that you could see in his shoulders, in his chest, in his breather, everything. It's just, it felt like a really good use of HDR. It looked really, really crisp. But then as the scenes went back and forth in the conversation, the light on Felicity Jones was muted. But you would expect with the light coming in the window to her face, you would expect her to be more well lit. And it was distracting to me because she was all muted. It looks like a flatter scene. And then they flip back to Forrest Whitaker and you see like all this great detail and great dynamic range. Then they go back to Felicity Jones, and you get that flatter scene with less dynamic range. It didn't, that part to me didn't make sense. I don't know what goes on there. I think that's the best example of what I'm talking about at the beginning of the movie. I'd say the first hour. Actually, it is at 1 hour, pretty much. It's at 1 hour. Go to chapter 23. It's called Scouting Edu. And this is a great example of the contrast in scenes that you can use where you use the atmospheric elements, because it's raining outside and they're scouting out Edu. And outside the ship, it's raining. Inside the ship, it's not raining. So outside the ship, you get that effect where the further you look, the harder it is to make out details because of the rain. And then when you go inside the ship, everything is nice and crisp and clear the way it should be, with a great dynamic range. And the shadows are as dark as they should be, and the brights are as bright as they should be. That, to me, was a great example of the two contrasts of the movie, the beginning and the end. And then from there on, from that scene on, I felt like the dynamic range of the picture was dead on. It was very enjoyable the rest of the way. The early part of the movie, the first part of the movie, really just felt a little bit more flat to me. Not as bad as Solo, but it scared me because I had just watched Solo. So I was, you know, maybe if I hadn't just watched Solo and been so disappointed, I would have been a little bit more accepting. But talking about sound, I thought it was really good. I would say that it is really good. But now that I have the 4K Dolby Atmos Star Wars A New Hope, this movie doesn't hold up to it. Because whenever I watch Rogue One now, it is spoiler free right now. So it's not a spoiler that you know that this movie buttons up right to the end of A New Hope. So whenever I watch Rogue One, I always have to just go and watch the beginning of A New Hope. And doing that, if you leave everything the same, if you have both movies, watch the end of Rogue One in 4K, don't touch a thing. Just swap out the Blu-rays, hit play, and you'll hear the difference. And what I did this time is I actually skipped past the scrawl at the beginning, so I went right to the action. Hit the chapter, and I started right at the beginning of A New Hope, missing the scrawl, so I didn't get the big orchestra score of, you know, that's going to maybe dilute your ears a little bit. Go right to the action, so you leave action in one movie and go to the action of the next movie, and you will hear a distinct difference in sound. It is much more... it's much louder. It's brighter. It just seems more distinct. Like, I really think that in this box set, they pulled out all the stops and they did everything that they could to improve these movies, to make them as best as they possibly could. And like I said, I'll have more on that next week, because there's a whole lot to talk about there that I can't wait to get to with John. But that being said, spoiler free, Rogue One, half of the movie has great HDR, and I love the sound throughout, and obviously I love the movie as well. So we hear the popcorn popping, so let's get to some spoilers. So the first spoiler, I almost was going to bring this up in spoiler free, but it's a scene, it's actually chapter 15, 30 minutes, 37 seconds, Holy City Ambush, it's called. Lot of great local sound in this ambush. So there's explosions and gun, you know, blaster fire going off, but in the explosions, you'd hear the explosion. It felt like it's in the middle of the room, middle of the screen, but then you would hear the rubble from it, or the pieces of dirt or rocks landing all around you, all around the room. Very distinct, very crisp. You'd hear all around the room. But all of this I thought was really cool, because it was set up with the silence and the ambient sounds of walking down the street, and you could hear people talking around you, and you'd hear the clitter clatter of feet. And it was, you know, very much like if you're walking down the street, very ambient sound, but it was very ominous, because, you know, well, if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know, but something's coming. And when that sets the scene like that, where it's really quiet, and then all of a sudden you get the big, you know, ambush, it really sets the stage and really makes that ambush sound even more grandiose. The next scene I'll talk about is at 47 minutes and 40 seconds. It's the demolition of Jedha. You know, the Death Star can explode an entire planet, say Alderaan, for instance. Well, in this movie, obviously, they're only destroying cities at a time. And in the destruction of Jedha, they fire farther away from Saw Gerrera's lair, and you have that explosion, and then it's coming at you. So it's a gradual build and a gradual bass sound coming at you, but it's also causing the room all around you to crumble. And I thought it was a really good use of overhead sound. I thought the sounds around the room of it crumbling was much like I said a couple weeks ago. I can't remember which movie, but it was like really had that Kill Bill feel, like you're inside your room and your room is crumbling. And it was, you know, wasn't as claustrophobic because you could see out, but it really had a great feel to it and really was a lot of fun. The next scene is chapter 25, 1 hour, 5 minutes, 25 seconds. The chapter is called Attack on Edu. And this is shortly after the one I talked about, spoiler free, where you get the example of, you know, the different environments and it's raining outside. So they're at Edu, it's raining outside. And when the X-Wings come in, it looked beautiful. I thought that the red of the X-Wing jets, jet engines against the bluish, rainy background, and then the sounds of the blaster fire, the entire environment and seeing X-Wings in the rain was really, really cool. Picture and sound on that scene, I think, is some of the best stuff. Well, up until that point in the movie, probably was some of the best stuff, but very distinct blaster fire. Just a really, really good time. And towards the end of that scene, at 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 21 seconds, they're like fleeing the area. The Jin is the last one to jump into the ship, and the door closes behind her. And you can, you know, it's very quiet. The door comes up, but then there's a great thump, not a big boom or anything, but a nice thump in the room when that door closes, really distinct. And then if you listen very carefully, you can hear the raindrops on the roof. It's really, really cool. I think it's a very subtle, if you're not listening at reference level, it's one of those things that unless you have, like on my system, the Denon I have has that dynamic volume control, so you can, it'll still amplify it. But if you don't have that running and you don't have it at reference level, you might not hear it. It's very, very subtle, but on the roof of my room, it felt like it was raining, like my roof was out exposed to the outside. It was really, really cool. And I'm pretty sure when I made the note, like the door closing at 1 hour, 10 minutes and 21 seconds, I think that's exactly when the thump happens. So if you back it up, you might want to go to a little before that, but you'll get the gist. So from there, we go to chapter 27, 1 hour, 12 minutes, 49 seconds. Whoo boy, this is one of those scenes. Title of the scene, Mustafar. It's Vader's chamber, and it blew me away. And it in 4K and with the Atmos, you get such great ambient sounds throughout this. It's not overwhelming. It's not like you have this. This one here, I think, is more about the picture. I almost like want to leave right now, go watch it again just so I could talk about it that fresh. It was so good. Just seeing Vader, seeing the reds in the air, it was so bright. And the steam coming up around his walkway. If you go to our podcast that we did in November, John and I, we actually made fun of this scene because we were laughing at like the logistics of it. Like really, the guy has a garage door to come out of. But I'm a total Star Wars nerd, and you buy into this every single time, and it's Vader, and it's like, this is the worst, worst villain of my life. He scared the heck out of me when I was 7. So, I mean, and it's still to this day, and when he comes out, and just everything about this scene, Vader looks so crisp. The black level on this, and actually, there's a view where he's looking outside of his chamber area and you can see the landscape, and it actually looks nice. It actually doesn't look like it even belongs on Mustafar. It's like, because Mustafar is supposed to be all red and lava. This actually looks a little bit nice out the window. I thought it was like a bluish landscape type. It's just a great, great scene to look at. And I mean, of course, you know, my opinion is probably tainted, but I don't care. After that, I would say go to chapter 31. Title of it is Scarif Gate. You don't need a time. Just go to chapter 31. It's basically from then on in, that's just a great watch. It's a great watch. It's extremely beautiful. The picture is so nice because you have so much going on from here on out in the movie where you're battling in the air, you're battling in space, and you're battling on land, and your battle in the land is so like lush and green. It's like they're battling in Hawaii and it looks beautiful. But then you have the air battle of X-Wings flying around in a normal atmosphere. But then you also have the space battle going on and the detail that are in the starships and the Imperial cruisers, and they're showing Imperial cruisers crash into each other. And it's, you get that, the black of space, the blackness of space, you know, is the backdrop to these starships and fighters. But then you go down and you have the blue sky backdrop. And then you go down even further onto the land and you have people running around with the green behind them and the sand. And then you go inside and you have Jin and Cassian, and they're inside an Imperial base, so you have that whole Imperial environment. And just the contrast of all these environments going on at once, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's just, that's a scene that you could watch over and over and over. And of course, it ends with the most iconic scene of Star Wars history. And I feel like it comes from a Star Wars movie. It's not even one of the nine, but that iconic Vader scene, it's just chapter 48, 2 hours, 3 minutes, 15 seconds. It's called Hope. The chapter's called Hope, but it starts out with that Vader scene. And the reason I think that it's an iconic scene is because this is the scene everybody has wanted since 1977. We have never seen this scene. Just Vader, like, lose it. Just go at anybody. And actually, in the extras, they actually tell you this is the first time Vader has used his red lightsaber on non-Jedi opponents. When that happened, the first time you see this, you're blown away. You're like, that's what I've always wanted. And that's why I think it's that iconic scene. There's one other scene in that I got from the extras. So in the battle in space, one of the X-Wings that gets destroyed is Red 5. And what makes that noteworthy is that X-Wing gets destroyed. The next time Red 5 call sign is used is when Luke uses it and he destroys the Death Star. So that was pretty cool. I didn't even notice that. I didn't notice that Red 5 exploded in Rogue One, and then Luke is the next one to be Red 5 after that. That's it for the movie. For special features, I just hit play. I put in the special features disc and it said play all. So I played all. It's a little over an hour long and it just goes through it starts at the idea of the movie, where it came from. And it actually came from, I don't remember his name, but a gentleman that, well, he starts the story with when he was 15 years old in 78, his father was going to California, I believe, on a business trip. And while he was out there, he looked up ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, in the Yellow Pages. And he found the address. So he said, Dad, can you take me there? So his dad took him down. And he walked in and he said, hey, I build models and I want to be a model builder when I grow up. And they invited him in and showed him around. He said they showed him stuff for the upcoming movie that they were working on. Clearly, things were more lax back then than they are now, because I don't think that could happen today. But this is in 78, and he's been working there, I don't think ever since. I think that was his first experience with ILM. But he's been at ILM a long time. He was there before Kathleen Kennedy. And as he's telling the story, he says he came up with the idea for Rogue One through the scrawl of A New Hope. And he's like, that whole part in the scrawl that says they got the spies intercepted the plans for the Death Star. So he built his idea off of that. He approached Kathleen Kennedy and she got back to him and said, we're interested. And it, from there, it's just really worth watching for, you know, like I said, we're all sitting around. We're looking for something to do. If you're a Star Wars fan, put this in. It goes through the history of Rogue One, but it also gets in a little bit into New Hope. There's a lot of how they built the sets and how they went off of A New Hope and the sets, not even sets that they had back then, but backdrops that were just paintings. And now Rogue One has to build a set based off of these paintings. There's another feature after that. It's like 4 minutes long where they go in and tell you how everything is linked, how the Star Wars universe is linked. And at first it's a little redundant, like a bunch of stuff that you might already know, but trust me, let it play out. There's a whole bunch of stuff. That's where I heard about Red 5 and Vader using the red lightsaber for the first time against non-Jedi. There's a bunch of them in there. They actually tell you different people playing, like Rian Johnson playing the role of one of the Imperial worker that fires the Death Star. There's little, you know, nuggets throughout, which is really cool. And like I said, it's only 4 minutes, so it's worth your time on that too. So that's it for this week for Rogue One. Great movie, scary beginning picture wise for me. Maybe you don't have the same opinion. Maybe if you're like Brian and you have a JVC NX7, it looks even better. I don't know, but I got to imagine, like I've said before, it's all relative. Next week's show is actually going to be, John and I are going to wrap up the whole Star Wars box set, but I'm definitely fitting in Cliffhanger. I've been meaning to get to that from, if you remember a few weeks ago, I got an email from a gentleman named John and he listed a bunch of movies and Cliffhanger was one of the ones he raved about. I've been meaning to get to that one. Definitely fitting that in this week. Love that movie. I've heard great things about it. And he raved about it, so I'll be hitting that one. I'll have comments on that next week. But let me know what you're watching, what you're doing to pass the time. You can tweet me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And if you're looking for more content, go to the Nerdy Legion at NerdyLegion.com. A lot of stuff there. Like I said, Adriano's listening to us on the Brightside chat, so if you're into comic books, there's a lot of that there, but there's a lot of other stuff as well. Like the Nerdy Legion podcast. And that gets into everything nerdy, not just comic books like we do at Brightside Chat. But they get into everything nerdy that's just two guys hanging out, being nerds, talking about anything and everything. So that's a pretty good one to check out too. But that's it for week 14. It's been a busy week for me because everything I just talked about, plus I'm still going through all the Star Wars stuff. So saving that for next week. I'm sure I've forgotten some stuff, but I'll see you on Twitter. Have a great week. Stay safe.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.